Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday school. It is good to see some of you back. Been out of town because of sickness, because of family issues, and we've certainly been praying for you. And we're glad to have you back in Sunday school today. It's a beautiful day. Might as well enjoy this weekend, because according to the weatherman, next weekend is going to be exactly the opposite. But anyway, God's in control, isn't he? And I'm glad he is, and we're glad to have you with us today here in Sunday school at Fellowship Baptist Church. The last Sunday in February, can you believe that?
Wow.
Last Sunday in February, this month is gone. We've been in stewardship month this month. This is the last Sunday. And if you will, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 6. We've been talking about this month what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches about the church, what the Bible teaches about God, what the Bible teaches about witnessing. And today we have our favorite subject, what the Bible teaches about giving.
Amen.
You like to give, don't you? Amen. I'm thankful that we have it to give. Amen. In other words, God provides it for us to enable us to give. And this is one of our favorite subjects about giving. And it involves more than just your treasures, your money. It talks about yourself, you know, your time, your talent, all these things. Talk about giving today, and we trust that God will enable us to be blessed by this, and thank you again for being here today. Let's pray. Ask God to bless our time together. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful again today, Lord, for life. We thank you for the opportunity to be together with your people, the church. God, we thank you for this place that we have to come to assemble together. We ask you now, Lord, to be our teacher. May the Holy Spirit have his will and way in our hearts and lives today. As we look this week, again, at the subject of giving, and I pray, God, that all of us will be reminded, apart from you, Lord, we'd have nothing. We'd have nothing to give. We'd have nothing in this life. Lord, we thank you now for all you've done for us and all you're going to do. God, I just pray now, Lord, you would just have your will and way in our hearts and lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm about to forget something here. Faith promises next week. Those of you that maybe are new in our church, if you'd like to have some information about Faith Promise, we have it here for you. And anyone here like to have a copy of this about Faith Promise? Anybody? Okay. Anybody over here want one? Okay. This describes. Anybody else need one? Anybody need one? Brother, thank you. They're laying up here in case somebody wants one after Sunday school, okay? Right up here. It talks about faith promise and what's involved and all that. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll be taking our faith promise. We'll be passing around a little card. If it's your first time, that's fine. If you renew, fine, whatever. Faith promise is what you give through Fellowship Baptist Church to missions, okay? This is the way we pay for our missionaries. It's through faith promise. It don't come out of the tithes. It comes out of faith promise. In other words, what you designate, what you pray about, you ask God, God, what would you have me to give to missions? Weekly, monthly, bi-weekly, whatever it is. Whatever amount God lays upon your heart to give, and you give it, and you mark it on your envelope as faith promise. You know, just like you do your tithe. We give our tithe and our faith promise the same way. We just take one what it is, another what it is. It all goes in the same offering, and of course, it's designated as faith promise for our missionaries. We have 95 missionaries right now, and we thank God for that. And the pastor's goal is to at least get 100, maybe in the next year or so, and we're just trusting God for that also. So faith promises determine how many missionaries we support, okay? The more we take up, the more missionaries we're able to support. So again, you'll be praying about that. And asking God what he would have you to do as far as faith promise. And you'll be given an opportunity next week to make that commitment to the Lord. Not to Fellowship Baptist Church, but to God. Okay? And he will provide. He will provide if you'll trust him and allow him to work in your heart and life. So that'll be next week. Okay. Now, today, in Matthew chapter 6, what the Bible teaches is about giving. In Matthew chapter 6, we find here in previous verses here, we're going to begin in verse number 19. But verses 16 through 18, Jesus was teaching about fasting. And now verse 19 through verse 24, we find here Jesus is teaching about money, about treasures. And we find in these three verses, these six verses, I should say, three choices he talks about. He talks about a choice of love, a choice of look, and also a choice of lords. And we see here that he's asking us to choose the treasure we lay up. Choose the treasure that we lay up. He also encourages us that living for material things in this life is unwise. Living for material things in this world is unwise. And then he also tells us God designs not to deprive us of our treasure, but he wants to direct us in choosing it, in choosing our treasure, that it might be eternal, that it might be for eternal value. So let's read these verses here in verses 19, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Jesus speaking here, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, again, Jesus speaking in these verses. First of all, we find in verse number 19, we find, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures." Here's a word of caution. Jesus is speaking. He's cautioning people here. He's cautioning us not to lay up treasures, not to lay up treasures for yourself. Not to lay up for treasures for yourselves. Okay? A word of caution here. Now, but he's telling us where our treasures will be. Where our treasures will be. Notice he says, a treasure. What is a treasure? A treasure is simply an abundance of something that in itself is precious and valuable to you. It's precious and valuable to you. We all have treasures. You may have had treasures passed down from your parents or your grandparents, the things that you treasure in your life, you know, that are valuable to you, and they're valuable to you and nobody else. Nobody else, you know. It may be pictures. It may be whatever, you know, dishes or whatever it is. Sometimes things are treasures to us. But God is speaking here. Now notice, first of all, he says in verse number 19, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Now why should we not lay up treasures on earth? Why should we not lay up treasures on earth? He tells us here, first of all, we must not count these things the best things. Listen, we have a lot of things in this world to enjoy, don't we? We really do. God's blessed us. But I'm going to tell you, these things that we have in this world to enjoy are nothing compared to what he's has for us over there. Nothing compared to this. So we see, first of all, we must not count these things in this world the best things. The best things. You've heard the song, "The best is yet to come"? Well, I believe that, don't you? There's better things coming for God's children. I really believe that. We all also must not covet an abundance of these things upon this earth. We should not covet abundance of things on this earth. Why? You know, most of us, if we all would admit to ourselves and to God, we all have too much stuff, don't we? I mean, we have to have an extra storage room. Most people today have garages. What's the garages full? The cars are not in it. It's stuff. You know, stuff, stuff, stuff. We're prone to do that today because we're so blessed. In America, we are. We're blessed people. But yet we see that we should not covet an abundance of things in this world. Listen, one day, whenever that appointment comes, we're going to leave this world and leave it all behind. And then if you've got children or grandchildren, all they're going to do is fuss and fight about it, you know? And that ain't something you want to happen. That ain't something you want to happen, you see, in your life. But see, I know a friend of mine, she went to school. She was about a year old when I was. She passed away this past week. She lives out in California, Texas, that is. But I know she was prone to do this, too, like we all are. But, you know, she got out of school and went going to go to college, and she went off to college for 1 year, and she told her, she came home from college and said, this is not for me. I'm not a college person. She says, I found what I want to do. And she said, she told him what it was. She says, okay, if that's what you want to do, do it. And she did it, you know? And she has very well succeeded in life. She really has, just like most people do. But the thing about it is this, once we succeed in life, our day is coming, we're going to leave it all behind. We're going to leave it all. So we should not covet. We should not covet an abundance of things upon this earth. Would food and raiment be content? You know, be satisfied with what you have, you know, and all that. But also we must not consider things, our security and our supply to come, because they can be taken. You know, you can have abundance today and tomorrow all be gone. You know what you're going to do then? You see, well, to rely upon the Lord daily for our bread. Daily for our bread, you see. So this is why we should not lay up treasures on earth. We should not lay up treasures on earth, you see. Why? We should not look upon anything on earth as a treasure. The Bible tells us here in the second part of verse number 19, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's why. See? It is liable to loss and decay, any treasures we have upon this earth. It's subject to being done away with, stolen, or whatever. Anybody ever have any people call your house and want to give you a burglar alarm system? All the time, you know. It's absolutely free, they say. That's a lie to start with. It's absolutely free, you know. It's free to install, that's all, but you got a monthly bill to pay, you know? And all this stuff. And this is the world we're living in. I never thought I'd live in a world where even at my house, in my yard, I had to lock my car doors before I go home, before I go to bed. I never thought that would ever happen. Lock my house doors before I go to bed. When I was coming up, everything was unlocked. We didn't know what a lock was, to be honest with you. And we felt safe and secure about it all the time, you know. But now we can't, because whatever we have in this world today is subject to being stolen or even destroyed. It's subject to do that. So we see here, it's liable to loss and decay from corruption within or even from violence without. So it's kind of foolish to make our treasure that which is so easy to be robbed or destroyed, isn't it? It really is. Why not lay up treasures in heaven? In heaven, you see. So we see here, verse number 19, we see here, a choice of love, where our treasure will be. Now look at verse number 20. Look at those things not seen that are eternal. These things are best. Verse 20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in where? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." See, those things not seen that are eternal are best. Laying up treasures in heaven. What kind of treasure can you lay up in heaven? Somebody tell me. Souls is the primary one. Souls is the primary one. It really is. To have trophies in heaven when we get there. You see? There are treasures. We are to place our happiness in treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. You see? Because treasures on this earth they may make you happy for a while, but sooner or later they can disappoint you. They can disappoint you. You see, but treasures in heaven, it brings happiness throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. You know, these things that we do for the Lord. There are treasures in heaven, true treasures, pleasures that are at God's right hand. He has them for us, the treasures there in heaven. It is wise to lay up those treasures that are in heaven. So, we're not to lay up treasures where? On earth. We're to lay up treasures where? In heaven. In heaven. That's what Jesus is teaching here. That's what he's trying to encourage us to do. Now, what is the evidence that we're laying up treasures in heaven? Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What is evidence that we're laying up treasures in heaven? Where's our heart today? Our heart. Our heart is evidence of what we're doing, you see. Evidence that we have done this. The heart follows the treasure. The heart follows the treasure. What is the most valuable thing in your life to you today? What is the most valuable thing to you in your life? See, I trust and pray that it will be Godward. It will be heavenward. You know, these things that we can cherish and we can do in our lives today. So our heart, the heart follows the treasure that we lay up, that we lay up. So we see here that the choice of love, where our treasure is, what do we love most? What's the most lovable thing to you in this world today? Most precious thing to you, you see. There are joys and delights in these kind of treasures. Joys and delights, heavenly treasures I'm talking about. There are thoughts continually. Are we thinking continually about heaven? The first, the fixed, the frequent, the final thought we have about things, is it heavenward? You know, Paul tells us to think upon these things that are good. You know, things of good report, honest, and all these things we should be thinking about, you see, in our life as a Christian, you see. So we find that verse 21 again says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If God wants our heart, and he does, don't he? Yes. He wants our heart. Now, if God's got our heart, where's our thinking? It's towards God. Well, where your heart is, there's your treasure, okay? There is your treasure. If God's got my heart, I'm focusing upon God. I'm focusing upon him. What his will is for my life daily, you see, as I walk and as I journey. So with these things are very, very important. Our treasure must be laid up with him, with God. Laid up with him, and then our soul will be lifted up to him. Our soul will be lifted up to him. We'll be soul conscious of people, soul conscious of God every moment of our life. Every moment of our lives, you see. But we are careful. We're not careful, though. Things will be not like that. Notice next, another choice we have, a choice of looks, where our vision will be. Look at verse number 22. The light of the body is the what? Eye. The light of the body is the eye. Notice, therefore, if therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of what? Light. If our eye is single, the whole body will be full of light. The whole body will be full of light, you see. A choice of look, where our vision will be. Our vision should be focused upon what we can do for the Lord. A single vision. Paul talks about that in the book of Philippians, by the single life. He does. Our thoughts should be upon him, you see. A single life, a single eye will be directed to Christian action as a believer. What can I do for my Lord? What can I do for Jesus who's done so much for me? See. We also see it will guide our affections and our actions. If our eyes are focused upon the Lord, it will guide us in our life. See, light is exalted. Light is exalted in verse number 22. But look at there, verse number 23. Verse number 3 says, "But if our eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." If our eye is single, it's going to be full of light. If our eye is evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, it's an amazing thing to me what sin can do for us. It really is. It's a gradual thing. It's a gradual thing that deceives us, misleads us, makes us fools, really, as Christians, to be caught up in some things that we get caught up in sometimes, you see. We have to be on guard all the time, don't we? We really do. We're bombarded. So Some of you have, you work and you work on computers all day long. And it's constantly, you're constantly bombarded with things there. At home, you know, TVs, I mean, everywhere we go, in the grocery store, everywhere we go, we're bombarded with things that are not right. And we know they were not right. And we have to deal with them. Thank God for His grace, amen? Thank God for His mercy, His forgiving to us all the time. But we see that light is excluded when we walk in darkness. Or light is exalted in verse number 22. So we see a choice where our vision will be, where our treasure will be. And then we see also in verse number 24, a choice of our Lord's, who our master will be. Who our master will be. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We love God or we don't love God. That word mammon literally means gain. Gain in life. We love what we gain. We love what we accomplish in life. It's what he's speaking about here. You see, we will be dedicated to one and we will hate the other. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? We'll be dedicated to one. No man can serve two masters. There's going to be a division between God and the world, folks. We're going to serve God or the world. God or the world. We're not straddle the fence, okay? We can't be that way. We serve God or the world. We'll have treasure on earth or treasure in heaven. Where do you want your treasures? On earth or in heaven? We have a choice to make, don't we? Okay? Also, to please God or to please man. Who do we want to please in our life? We have a choice. So Jesus is giving us choices here in these verses, and we have to make that choice. I can't make the choice for you. You can't even make it for me. You can't even make it for your spouse. Okay? But you can only make it for yourself. You can only make that choice for yourself. You will be despised. We will despise the other. In 1 John chapter 2, talks about how we're to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And what is it in the world that deceives us? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. You see, all these things are in this world to deceive us and cause us not to lay up treasures in heaven. Not to lay up treasures in heaven. We cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. It's impossible. Now, does the location of our treasure manifest you as a believer? Does the location of our treasure manifest us as a believer? Does the location of our treasure, our heart, manifest us to this world as a believer? What are we laying up our treasures for? What is our treasure? Where I set my heart is a critical issue in my spiritual life. Where I set my heart. Is my heart set upon the things of this world? Or is it set upon earth? Eternal things, eternal values. This is going to help my spiritual life. Basing, living for the Lord and doing all I can. Here we're to choose in these verses. First of all, number one, where our treasure will be. What's the choices, folks? Have heaven or earth? Where our treasures will be? Heaven or on this earth? Number two, where our visions will be. Will it be in darkness or will it be in light? Okay? Now we know Jesus is the light. Amen? Will it be upon Him or will it be upon the darkness of this world? Where our vision will be. And number three, who our master will be. Who is our master? Someone said, where riches hold the dominion of a heart, God has lost His authority in that life. Is that so true? You know, the verse in the Bible says it's hard for a rich man to enter heaven. It is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know, when things in this world have dominion over us, God Himself has lost His authority in our life. Money, houses, cars, all these things that the world offers, there's nothing wrong with them if they don't have control of you. They don't have control of you. But the problem is, they will get control of you. They will get control of you. They really will. I know people today, and you do too, that are not in church today, not in Sunday school at all. They come haphazardly whenever they want to. And primarily the reason is because they have been so blessed. They have so much. They don't need God anymore. They don't need God anymore. They got all the money they need. They got a nice house. They got a nice job. They got a good career. I mean, why do they need God? Why did they blind it, folks? They're blinded by Satan. They're going to realize one thing. One day, as a Christian, they're going to suffer a lot of loss because they didn't put the Lord first in their lives. You see, listen, it is beneficial to serve God. It pays to serve God. It really does. It pays to serve God. It may not pay a house. It may not pay a car. But folks, I'm going to tell you, eternal values, eternal things are more important than these things on earth. A lot more important, you see. And so may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to realize the choices we make, where our treasures will be, where our vision will be, and who's going to be our master while we're here on this earth. That's so important. It's so important for us to look at that and to know that today. Now, giving to the glory of God. Isn't it wonderful to be able to give? I think it is. I count it a privilege. I think it an honor to be able to give to my God who loves me. I can never give back to Him for what He's done for me. Right. Never. I can't outpay Him. I can't pay Him. I owe a debt I cannot pay. You know, that's Jesus Christ died for me. But the attitude of giving is so important. The attitude of giving. We're to give to be show our thankfulness to God. Be thankful to God for what He's done. That's why we give, you see. It's not for obligation. Not to be obligated. It's not even to impress others that I'm giving. I'm thankful today in the church that we have here, there's only maybe a couple, maybe three people that most knows who gives. Knows who gives. The rest of us in God's hands, you know. We don't give for show. We don't give for obligation. We give because we love God and we thank God for what He's done for us. That's why we give. That's why we give. Also, motives behind giving is so important. Why do I give? Why do I give? We're to give to help support the ministry of the church. That is the getting out of the gospel to the church. You know, that's what the church's function is. The church is to what? Win the lost. We've already talked about the church. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, helping them come to Christ, knowing Christ as their Savior. See, we're to support the ministry of the church. We're to bring the tithes in, Malachi 3:10. Also, we're to discipline our giving. Discipline our giving. We're to do that. We need to be disciplined in giving. Therefore, we need to give regularly. Every week, every 2 weeks, every month, whatever it is, we're to give regularly. We're to be faithful in this. And we must give faithfully. And we must sometimes even give sacrificially, you know, not just trusting God where it's going to come from, you know. What a challenge it is, what a blessing it is. You know, if you have abundance and you say, well, I can give, you know, you just give in your abundance, what have you accomplished, really? You're not trusting God much, for are you? We're not. This is where faith promise comes in, folks. It's trusting God to enable us to be able to give so much, maybe per week or per month, to support the missionaries that we have here in our church and those that we will support. You see, it's a by faith thing. We trust God to give us that amount, whatever it may be, for that reason. Now, the attitude of giving is very important, folks. It's very important. It really is. Giving what we have with the right attitude is more important than giving a lot with the wrong attitude. Don't give with the wrong attitude. Don't give with that. God looks at the heart before He releases the blessings. He looks at the heart before He releases the blessings of giving. We should discipline our giving. Undisciplined giving is a sign of giving out of the wrong attitude and motives. Discipline is very, very important. You discipline yourself to pay your bills, don't you? You discipline yourself to eat, don't we? I mean, that's life, isn't it? The thing of discipline. Therefore, giving should be in order the same order. Learning to do that. How do we give? We give secretly. We don't look at what I give. No, you don't do that. We give secretly as unto the Lord, you see. We're to give generously. There are two types of giving. There's two types when we give. There's, first of all, the tithe, which belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord's already. If that's all I give, I haven't given anything. I just give God back His, but I haven't given anything myself if all I give is my tithe, you see. But also there is a what we call a free will offering or a love offering that you give unto the Lord. See, and this is very important in helping us to grow spiritually and putting more faith in the Lord as we go through life. Giving allows us to demonstrate our faith in God under His grace, the grace of God. Giving purposely, this guards us guards the giver, who is us, in being robbed of the joy of giving. I don't want to be robbed of the joy of giving, do you? I want to give from my heart cheerfully as unto the Lord. I like to do that. And also it speaks about giving cheerfully. Giving proportionally. To give in proportion as you prosper. Always think about the widow in the Bible that gave her mite. She gave her two mites. That's all she had. She gave everything she had. And Jesus said she gave more than all the others did. Because the others had abundance. And they just give a portion. But she gave all she had. Isn't it amazing? Will you make $100 a week or you make $5,000 a week? If we all give in proportion of that one tenth, God always provides what the church needs. He always provides what the church needs. He always does. So we need to be consistent. Sacrificial giving is necessary for our maturity as a Christian. Be consistent. God blesses the bountiful giving in a variety of ways. He does. It's not always material things. Our giving should be regular and consistent. I have a story to tell you of a church out west. It was mostly farm area. A lot of farmers there. Some public workers, but most people were farmers there. And the church was in a financial situation. They owed a lot of money. And the treasurer of the church literally resigned. They resigned. And so the pastor, he had the church to come together and ask, we need to pray about this situation. We need a treasurer. We need God's blessing upon this church. And what can we do? So later on, they come back together, and they were trying to pick out somebody in the church, maybe to be a treasurer, help the church out, be the treasurer. By the way, that's a hard job. I don't know from my experience, but I know from others I've talked to about it. It's a very important job. So one guy says, I think that brother so-and-so over here ought to be our usher, be our treasurer. He's a known, well-known businessman in this town. He has grain elevators, and a lot of us deal with him. We know him. You know, he's an honest man, and he does everybody well in this neighborhood. I don't know anybody he's ever done wrong. And he says, I'd like to suggest maybe he be our treasurer for our church. And the guy that had the bin elevators and all that, he says, okay, I will, but there's two stipulations I'm going to give before I become the treasurer of this church. He says, number one, from the day I start, I'm not going to give a report of any treasures to any money that comes into this church for 1 year. You're not going to know what comes in this church for 1 year from the time I start being your treasurer, if you want me to be your treasurer. And number two is, nobody's going to ask me a question. No questions are going to be asked. No questions for a whole year. Just give me 1 year. No reports and no questions. Church was puzzled. Have we got enough thief on hand? But the church finally decided, okay, we'll let you do it. We trust you. You're an honest man. A lot of us have dealt with you. We know you. So what happened? Well, the year went by. The guy come up to give the report. He says, okay, the church has been able to pay $250,000 off this year indebtedness. They were amazed. No, that would mean that we're able now to give the pastor a raise. They were amazed that all this stuff was happening because of what was taking place. And they were amazed. How in the world did this happen? How in the world did this happen? He said, well, this is what's taking place this year. So most of you bring your grain to my bin and sell it to me. And you bring your stuff to me and sell it to me. And before I pay you, I take the tithe out of what you owe God, and I record it on your name, and I give it back to the church. I've been doing that the whole year. I've been doing that the whole year, and you didn't even know it. But because we have been doing that, the church has been blessing. Now we have over $12,000 right there in the bank. We have that. We can all do it together, folks, is what I'm saying. If we'll just do it. If we'll just do it, you see. You know, it yet is to be determined what a church can do if everybody in the church would tithe. Everybody in the church would tithe. We know there's some people not going to tithe. It's simply because they haven't learned to trust God. Trust God. Folks, those of you that have been tithing for years, and I have too, my wife and I, we know, listen, you cannot outgive God. I say this in respect. It's been over a couple years ago, my wife and I, we decided we were giving above tithes, but we decided we're going to give more than that. We're going to give more than that. And honest to goodness, you know, you heard the phrase, out of sight, out of mind. You know? And if you'll do that, you'll do that. I'm not saying God's going to give you $1 million. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying God will bless you. He'll bless you in ways that you cannot imagine. You cannot imagine. Now, this church here is blessed. This church here is a blessed church. We have good tithing people in this church. And I thank God for everyone that does. I really do. But you know, those that don't, they're missing a blessing.
That's right.
They're missing a blessing. You're being robbed. You're being robbed of something that God wants to do for you. In your life, you know. And I want to challenge you. To step out by faith with this faith promise thing. Trust God and to help support some missionaries that the church does. I believe everything ought to be done through and by the local church. Amen?
Amen.
It's through and by the local church that I support missionaries. Now, if you want to support some missionaries otherwise, that's good. But don't forget the church. This is what God's instituted it to be in control of all the finances, all the things that we do here. So I'm saying to you and to myself today, I thank God for the privilege to give, the opportunity to give. But I don't want to be come up short one day, and God says you didn't give like you should have given. I don't want to be robbed. I don't want to rob God, do you? I don't want to rob God. Malachi tells us about that. When have you robbed God? What did it say? In your tithes and offerings, you've robbed God. I don't want that to be said of me. And I know you don't either. But I'm saying, may the Lord help us today as we look at this thing of giving. Laying up treasures in heaven. That's tithing, folks. That's tithing. That's giving to God what's His. No questions about it. Give it to God. I can give such many examples of how the Lord has helped my wife and I many years through all these years. Because we've been faithfully tithing and giving to God. It's a big step for a new Christian. It really is a big step. It's a step of faith. But once you take that step of faith and you commit to do it, you'll be amazed what God can do for you and through you. You really will. May the Lord help us. Think about faith promise. What can you do for missionaries? Allow God to direct you. And supporting the missionaries here at our church. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for, Lord, for your Word of God, the Word of God that you've given to us. Lord, you instruct us in many ways about many different things in life. We thank you, Lord, for the investments, Lord, that you've given us instruction to invest in, how we're to invest in eternal things and not earthly things. Lord, I just pray, God, you'd help us. to be faithful in this. Lord, to be consistent. And Lord, to do it with a loving heart, a cheerful heart, a grateful heart. For Lord, all you've done for us. Thank you, dear God, for this time together now. Lord, we're about to go to another service. And I pray, God, you will bless that. The singing, the preaching. Oh, may all that's done today bring honor and glory to you. Help that one today that's lost, Lord, to trust Christ as Savior. Help that one today that's hurting to be encouraged. Those that are discouraged to be encouraged. Help those, Lord, that are hurting because of family members that are sick, family members that have passed away. God, only you can fill that heart with joy, and I pray you would. Have your will and way now, and all we say and do in the next hour, in Jesus' name, amen.